Mr. Chubara, this is the second conference on abolition of death penalty in Belarus. So how could you see the importance of such a dialogue? Is it a signal that Belarus sends to international community that the country is ready to do something and this is a good step forward?
You are correct to say it's the second. I think the positive is that it's the second so-called meeting this year. So that's a very welcome sign. Is it a sign? I think you can look at it two ways. On one level, you can say it's a positive sign. There must be some progress or talk about moving forwards. On another level, I think we shouldn't be too worried about looking for indicators. I think the most important thing to take from it is that it is a continuation of a discussion. And we don't know how long that discussion needs to take place. And I think it's very important for people to understand that every country, when it moves towards abolition, moves in its own pace. What we can do as an international community is to try and help Belarusians and the government to consider, and from our own experiences, what has happened in other jurisdictions, what lessons can be learned. But I think it's very difficult to actually impose timetables or any other issue within the domestic framework. What we must do is be available. So if the government wish to discuss this further, we should be available to share our experiences. So to that extent, it's a positive sign that Belarus still wants to consider continue the dialogue and to continue discussions. And I think that's what we should take from this at this stage.
There is a strong belief that there must be a political will to abolish the death penalty, but at the same time there are references to the result of referendum which took place in 1996, where the majority of Belarusian population supported the idea of death penalty. Now, as the recent polls showed, the number of those who support the death penalty is decreasing, but they are still dominant. So could this idea, I mean the imposing moratorium of death penalty, be effective without taking into account the people's mind?
Public opinion is a very important factor, but we need to put it within the context and framework of any discussion on abolition of the death penalty. You're absolutely right that in order to move away from the death penalty, what is really required is strong leadership. And public opinion needs to be built in within that framework. But public opinion should really inform the debate, not lead the debate. And that's why strong political leadership is required. And I think if you look at how public opinion is considered, you have to remember that it's very much dependent on when the public opinion discussions took place. The questions that people may ask, for example, there may be general support for retention of the death penalty amongst the public, but the question that isn't really considered sometimes is how deep and how strongly that support for retention is exists. So what needs to happen is there needs to be much more informed discussion and dialogue. So, for example, in Belarus, where, as I understand it, there has already been discussion on the elite level to say that they want to move away from the death penalty, they want to move towards abolition, but they can't do this because of public opinion. What needs to be done in that situation is that the public opinion needs to be brought into the discussion, but in order to change public opinion, I think it's important that the public are given information and an education so that the public opinion is an informed one. So then that is the right time to test public opinion. And if you look at countries in other parts of the world that have abolished the death penalty, no country has really abolished the death penalty in its own country based on public opinion. Public opinion is always usually in favor on a simple level for retention of the death penalty, and it's required parliament and political leadership to move away from the death penalty. If you look at, say, for example, the UK, who has we recently celebrated the 50th anniversary of effective abolition in the UK, and there were a number of factors. One of them was strong leadership. Another one was actually more information being given to the public about the operation of the criminal justice system and the fact that there were errors that were occurring in the criminal justice system where people were wrongfully being convicted and executed.
But for the Great Britain, the moratorium was imposed in 1965, but with exceptions.
Yes. So there was a period where executions were suspended, you're absolutely right. That would be a very, very first step towards abolition. Now, some countries have go straight to abolition. For those countries that don't want to, a moratorium is considered one way in which to do it. But the important bit about a moratorium is that it allows for the debate to take place. So if in a country like Belarus, where there is a discussion and dialogue going on right now, as you rightly said, looking at the various conferences that are taking place and the working group and so on, what should happen now is whilst that dialogue is taking place, there should be a consideration of a moratorium on executions until the government and parliament and the president have decided where they want to go with this.
And 1 year moratorium as it is proposed now, is it a possible way?
It's one possible way. I've never really considered whether it should be a 12-month suspension or whether it should be longer. I think it really depends on the framework within Belarus. So, for example, as I understand it, there is a 3-year program that is being considered. So given that that is a 3-year program up until 2019, perhaps the moratorium should be until all the deliberations have taken place and the final recommendations are given. So a 1-year suspension certainly in the short term, but it may well need to be extended to allow for the full dialogue process to take place.